In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. For the homily today, I want to focus on the epistle reading that we had just heard. We don't often hear preaching simply on the epistle, but there's an important point here that we've come to in the cycle of the year as we're reading through the epistles to the Corinthians. And the part that I want to focus on is Paul's ending of the portion that we had just heard. I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then to be imitators of me. It's important to give ourselves some context about who it is that Paul is addressing directly in the epistle, but we all know that the epistles are directed to all of us. They mean something to us. But it's good to know what was going on in Corinth. The Corinthian church was established by Paul himself. He brought them the gospel, the first to be in that city and to preach the news of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection and the salvation of mankind, that the Messiah had come. We can read about this in the book of Acts, Acts 18. And in that city, there were many Gentile converts. People not of Jewish heritage. In other words, these were pagan Greeks and Romans who were coming to Christ. And here in Corinth, there were many of them. In fact, we know that it was the majority of the Christians in that city were not of Jewish heritage or upbringing, but of Gentile one. And he lived among the Corinthians for a year and a half at least. Some people say maybe 2 years or a little bit more. And then when he finally moved on, he entrusted the care of this church to a man named Apollos, who we read in this epistle, he says that Apollos watered the seeds that I planted and Christ gave the increase. Paul had a deep fatherly affection for the Corinthian church, and it is evident in the epistles that we have in the New Testament. Paul was their father in Christ, even if sometimes that relationship might have been a little bit contentious, as we read in the epistles, but his care for them and his correction of them was meant out of a place of love, to keep them within the gospel that he had delivered to them, and as he even says so boldly, begot them as children within. The Corinthian church, we know because of these epistles, struggled internally to live holy lives, Christians living holy lives within the church, and also externally with keeping to the gospel that Paul had delivered to them. The city of Corinth was a Greek-Roman city dedicated to the god Aphrodite. It was famous for hosting very popular games, renowned for its atmosphere of frivolity and sensuality. The culture of the city was bent to, and at Aphrodite's temple, truly dedicated toward worshiping her and participating in her wiles. Through at her temple, 1,000 slaves and courtesans, both men and women, who were dedicated to that goddess. We know this because the Greeks themselves, in their geographies and histories, account this for us. And so the Christians in Corinth, Paul commends them for being spiritual, but they struggled. They struggled to conform to the gospel that he had given them, to break from the pagan spiritual understandings of things and the passions that arise in the worship of the false gods. They struggled in their families. They struggled in their households, bringing them together, and even in their worship gatherings. All of these things Paul addresses as he writes to the Corinthians, especially in 1 Corinthians. They struggled, in other words, to love as Christ loved, and not to become selfish in their spirituality and in their beliefs. They even struggled to trust in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as their own resurrection unto new life. The Corinthian church was fraught with threats of schisms and factions and sins that were infecting the community. Sounds a lot like us in our day and the church today, does it not? These threats of schisms and factions and sins infecting the community. This is why that epistle is so relevant to us this day. Paul's advice, his fatherly affection as he writes to the Corinthians and gives them correction and guidance, we can make our own very easily because it resonates with our own experience here and now. So Paul guides and addresses these difficulties, these stresses to their Christian fellowship and to the doctrines that he gave them. And the apostle writes to them from across the channel in Ephesus, known for its stormy waters. This is why he writes and doesn't just go across the channel himself. So he writes a letter in his stead, and it is delivered to the church in Corinth, and this is what we have before us. And the section that we have just read is toward the beginning. And Paul is giving his spiritual qualifications for apostleship and how he can claim to be the Corinthian church's what we would call spiritual father. Everything that he lists of his sufferings and of his blessings and of his conciliation, this is what his apostleship was made of, and what he is telling the Corinthian church occurs and how we go through our suffering in a Christian manner. He is a father speaking to his children. And the image that Paul gives as he speaks to his spiritual children is the image of an arena, a Roman arena, where slaves and gladiators fought to the death. Paul is characterizing his own apostolic ministry and that of all the apostles, and really, by extension, all Christians, to be what he called a spectacle. This is how we know he's talking about the Roman arena, because that is what you went to see the spectacle of the arena. And there, men and angels marvel at the spiritual contest that is called for us to live. The way of Christians, he is saying, is not the exalted one with all this exterior glory, one where the world would recognize that is one who is on top of things. But the apostles, most of all, are the ones who followed the way of the cross. And it is the way of the cross that makes Paul their spiritual father and that he gave them the gospel first. He speaks in very fatherly language, he begot them as if they were from his own flesh. But even more importantly, from his own spirit, did he make them children of the gospel, and he their father. And the gospel is really nothing other than the news of the crucified and risen Lord and living as Christ lived and offered himself up. This is what Paul will guide them through for the rest of the epistle. And so he's telling them, I as your father care for you in this way. I'm helping you to live within Christ. St. John Chrysostom comments beautifully on this passage. He says, what does it mean that we have become a spectacle unto the world? Not a single corner, nor yet in a small part of the world, suffer we these things, says he, Paul, but everywhere and before all. But what means unto the angels? How are we a spectacle unto the angels? It is possible to become a spectacle unto men, but not so unto angels when things are done in an ordinary way. But our wrestlings are such as to be worthy even of angelic contemplation. And St. Ambrose will add that the spiritual powers are marveling at the apostles and the Christians for not having a care for their body, that their souls gleam with a spiritual brightness that is like the angels themselves. This is what the angels marvel at of the spectacle of the Christians adhering to Christ so closely. And the gospel has compelled Paul to be diminished in a worldly view and to accept all kinds of otherwise dishonorable things as the honorable way of life because he follows Christ in them. These humiliating treatments are the means by which Paul becomes like Christ, and even that which gives him power from the gospel to preach that very gospel and give birth to new Christians. The acceptance of the suffering for Christ's sake is the arena that Paul is talking about. To return to St. John Chrysostom, he says that Paul is saying that the main point is not that he and his fellow apostles are suffering, for that is common to everyone. Everyone suffers. What is unique about them is that they are suffering without despair and without anger. On the contrary, they are full of rejoicing, and they prove it by returning good for evil that they receive. And St. John further says that the apostolic suffering without despair or anger is, and even giving blessings and trying to reconcile, is the virtue of meekness. And meekness is strength that is used without personal gain, but used for others, for wholly their benefit. This is what the apostles did and why they became our fathers in Christ. To continue with St. John and his commentaries on this, he says that Paul said these things not in order to provoke the Corinthians to consider that they should zealously seek to emulate the apostles in their dangers and in their indignities, and not in their honor and glories. For it is the former, the indignities and the dangers, and not the latter, the honors and the glories, that the gospel requires. In other words, he's admonishing them to lay down their lives in a certain way for their salvation. And when we choose, St. John further says, to live by the sight of men, by their judgments, instead of by God's sight and his judgments, we can only get out of this false perspective of the sight of men by accepting suffering and humiliation for Christ's sake. And when we are brought low, that then we bless, then we endure, then we reconcile, as Christ did upon the cross. If we look for the approval of men and their praise, all things will be confused and sometimes even turned upside down spiritually. And this is what Paul will then begin to address: spirituality being turned upside down for the Corinthians, and he's trying to turn it right side up again for them, as a father would want to do for any of his children. St. John Chrysostom warns about this dangers of being self-focused and looking at the praise of men rather than God's sight. He says, from hence, from looking at God's sight, or not in God's sight, but in men's sight, from there, in fact, all the world's evils have originated. Because in things really bad, we reverence not God but men. On this account, you see, both things which are truly good, not accounted such as things by the generality, by everyone, the crowd, if you will, become objects of our aversion. We, not investigating the nature of things, but having respect for the opinion of the many, and again, in the case of evil things, acting on the same principle. Certain things, therefore, are not really good, but seeming fair unto the many, we pursue those as if they are good, through the same habit, so that on either side we go to our own destruction. In other words, St. John is telling us, if other men give us our priorities, instead of receiving our priorities and our way of life from God, evil sneaks in and begins to destroy the Spirit. And the apostle and the saint, Paul and St. John, are saying we must follow Christ to the cross in order to live out the gospel. That is what the apostles do and how they were able to give the gospel to others. Paul has offered himself up for the gospel and so offers himself and the other apostles as well as examples of this way of life. It's the gospel that has made Paul a father to the Corinthians. He says, though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. This is a very, very important point for our spiritual lives. We can learn a lot from lots of different people, and they may be right. They may give us good teachings about God, about what the scriptures say, but we don't have many fathers. The apostles also do not have fathers other than Christ. But we who receive the gospel, we are born anew by them through the gospel, and so we have fathers in Christ. All Christians after the apostles have spiritual fathers. For we receive the gospel of Christ through others. There's no other way that one becomes a Christian. One receives the sacraments than by the hand of another. And the apostle here makes that abundantly clear, that we have fathers in Christ. What is the difference between an instructor in Christ and being a father in Christ? A father gives love. He counts those that he admonishes and guides to keep the gospel way of life, which he gave to them, and so he views them as his children. It's the perspective of a father and the care that Paul is showing to them. A guide, an instructor, simply teaches and does not carry the load, does not carry them within his heart. He teaches and moves on. It's good, but it's not complete like a father's love is. A father is one who has begotten someone in faith and can show his own life to his child and say, as Paul does with such boldness, follow me, imitate me as I imitate Christ. This is the perspective of a father, a spiritual father. This last verse that we have just accounted about Paul begetting them through the gospel ties together all that we have heard from this passage of Scripture. Paul writes to remind them of that relationship that he has with them. They receive the gospel from Paul, making them his children in Christ Jesus, and that they should live as he does and as he showed them when he was among them. This becomes abundantly clear because he repeats it again later in the epistle. In chapter 11, verse 1, he says, he exhorts them, you are to imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Imitation is how we learn at a deep level to become new. The spiritual life begins in this way and continues to deepen, for there is no end in Christ's life. Our spiritual journey is always one of learning to imitate Christ, to become more like him, that we be transformed. And the essence of spiritual fatherhood that Paul is talking about in giving a loving correction and guidance throughout the epistle is nothing other than that. Some of the most valuable instructions on Christian life are given to the whole of the church by the fatherly epistles to the Corinthians that Paul writes. Read those epistles, brothers and sisters. You will have great value in knowing how to navigate our own world, because we look a lot like the church in Corinth in the first century. Spiritual fatherhood is chiefly about drawing others, living in a way to draw others to know Christ, which is the whole point of Paul's epistles. Paul writes to draw their focus clearly on Christ and to put away or reject all that draws them away from him. And the Corinthians had many, many temptations in their city. They lived in a culture hell-bent on attempting to draw them down and away from the gospel. But it did not and could not win against the church. The temple of Aphrodite fell. It's a rubble now, a museum. And her evil worship stopped there. Paul, the spiritual father of the Corinthian church, was above all living in the way that Christ revealed to him how to live. And so with boldness, he can exhort them to imitate himself and count himself as their father to guide them into Christ's life. And the Apostle Paul, throughout his epistles, shows them how to walk that way, the narrow way of Christ, even while remaining in Corinth. But they were set apart from that God's cult. And they did walk it, and Christ and his church became victorious there. Paul knew his people. He lived with them. He baptized them. He taught them. He worshiped the Trinity with them. He buried them, and he loved them. And so he corrects and guides their community in the special way that a father can. To this day, the church continues in having spiritual fathers. They draw us close to Christ in a way like the apostles did. For the Corinthians and for the many churches that still stand that we can look to throughout the world. That is ultimately the only marker of a spiritual father. Are they drawing you close to Christ and to know him? Are you walking in Christ's ways more by that advice and guidance and correction? Great is the gift of spiritual fatherhood, for by it we learn and are strengthened to live as ones who bless, endure, and reconcile when we are reviled and persecuted and slandered. For the spiritual father is one who is like the Apostle Paul, a father in Jesus Christ through the gospel. One who can say, imitate me, and you will be imitating the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man and the Savior of all mankind. What a great gift that we have within our church and that we can see in the life of St. Paul and in his letters. May we all know such a fatherly love and that we may come to know and love Christ and his heavenly Father all our days. Amen.